Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. I'm CASM Radio Farm Director Joe Gill. Your report brought to you by Midsoda Manufacturing in Avon. Check out their trailers and skid steer attachments. I know you're thinking snow bucket, or maybe you're saying brush cutter after making your way to deer camp to make sure things are good to go for this deer hunting season. Well, swing on in. Utility trailers, enclosed trailers, you'll find it all at Midsoda Manufacturing. And let's begin this week on your report. Check in with fellow farm broadcaster Michael Clements as he talks soybeans here this week in regards to the most recent USDA World Egg Supply and Demand Estimates.
Mac Marshall, United Soybean Board and U.S. Soybean Export Council Vice President of Market Intelligence, says USDA made updates to the 2021 marketing year soybean crop size.
What we've wound up with is that 4.45 billion bushel crop, which is a record crop right now, surpassing the 2018 crop size. We had upward revisions on the prior year balance sheet as well. So all of this translated into additional carryout at the end of this marketing year. At the end of September, we had the grain stocks report. So seeing that uptick in carryout for the 21-22 marketing year is not surprising, but it's kind of a confluence of both revisions to last year and, of course, these production updates that we have for the crop being harvested right now.
Marshall says the report relieves the tightness of soybean supplies, which was the market focus for much of the last year.
Prices still remain strong, but certainly having this additional supply being captured in the ending stocks figure means that the overall tightness in the balance sheet that we've really observed for much of the past year is starting to abate a little bit. Of course, there's still strong domestic demand, still strong global demand, and we're glad to produce a great crop to go into that. But some of the pricing opportunities that might have been there in previous months get a little wind out of the sails in response to this report.
The latest report highlights the importance of checkoff-funded efforts to create demand for U.S. soybeans.
Absolutely. I encourage you to check out unitedsoybean.org to see all of the initiatives that we're undertaking in terms of market development, demand advancement, and research. And also our partner organizations, USEC.org and USSoy.org.
Keep up with the latest news from the United Soybean Board at UnitedSoybean.org and Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central on RFD-TV. Michael Clements reporting.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. And we continue to talk crop prices, seed prices, and well, as we have 2022 planting decisions being made right now, it's a little more complicated due to the rising production costs and uncertainties regarding fertilizer prices and more. Also, farm broadcaster Todd Gleason, who works at the University of Illinois, he spoke to Gary Schnitke, University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist.
It will cost more to raise next year's corn and soybean crops. The University of Illinois Extension Agricultural Economist Gary Schnitke says all non-land costs have gone up, especially fertilizer. This is also the one cost that has widened the most between the two crops. Again, both crops will be more expensive to raise next year, but raising corn, that will cost even more, says Gary Schnitke.
The difference between non-land cost for corn and soybeans are non-land cost for corn, we're projecting for next year is $677. Soybeans are $413, so there's a $264 difference between those costs. That $264 is the widest it's been, and about half of that's fertilizer, and the other half is other items, but it's the fertilizer that's going to be the one that changes between now and next spring.
What this means is the price of corn relative to the price of soybeans needs to be higher than usual in order to pay for the extra fertilizer cost, the anhydrous ammonium, the nitrogen. Gary Schnitke has written an article for the University of Illinois FarmDoc Daily website detailing just how much higher, and it breaks down by region in the state of Illinois. By the numbers, it will be much harder for southern Illinois farmers to make corn pay than it will be for those in northern Illinois. Now, that's not really a surprise, but seeing it in black and white can be eye-opening. The FarmDoc Daily article is titled 2022 Planting Decisions, Nitrogen Prices, and Corn and Soybean Prices. I'm Todd Gleason.
All right, Todd, some interesting insight into that decision-making for 2022. Well, let's head north and go to our broadcast friend in Canada, Dennis Guy, and He's reporting on the first Eastern Canadian dairy farm to deliver processed methane gas directly into Ontario's natural gas grid. He gives us more details on that.
Methane generated by biodigesters has typically been used to fuel on-farm power generators, but this project is the first time an on-farm biodigester is directly supplying Ontario's large natural gas consumer grid. Stanton Brothers Dairy Farm's first investment in biogas-fueled renewable energy production was an on-farm digester powering three 250-kilowatt electricity generators. This summer, a second biodigester was completed, but instead of fueling generators, this unit pressurizes, scrubs, purifies, and delivers renewable natural gas to one of Canada's largest natural gas utility companies. Murray Logan, site operations manager for Rural Green Energy, one of Stanton Brothers' partners in the operation, says the methane produced by the digester needs to be scrubbed before it can be fed into the grid.
The biomethane that's produced from the digester on the farm has to meet a pipeline quality standard. The biggest obstacle of cleaning up biomethane is moisture. So we have to heat and cool and condense that moisture and pull it from the gas. We also have to scrub it through activated charcoal to remove the sulfur. So the gas utility meters that. The methane quality is measured constantly.
There are already methane biodigesters feeding utility gas grids operated by municipal and private interests, but Stanton's dairy operation is the first on-farm digester in Ontario to supply directly to a utility grid. The renewable gas operation provides another stream for the Stanton dairy operation, but the hope is that Ontario will follow British Columbia's example for renewable natural gas. So Stanton's supply contract is with British Columbia-based Fortis, a utility company with experience in large-scale methane distribution.
The utility is always seeking more renewable natural gas, so they've gone outside the province to source it. A homeowner in British Columbia can voluntarily sign up to utilize renewable natural gas as a fuel in their home or business and as an offset get a tax credit for doing it. The only way a large-scale operation could justify an anaerobic digester was to have that contract in hand. This gives them yet another revenue stream.
Murray Logan is with Rural Green Energy based at Woodstock. Reporting from Canada, I'm Dennis Guy.
All right, Dennis, we appreciate it and appreciate all of our help from our nationwide farm broadcasters contributing this week to our Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio. It's brought to you each and every week by the fine folks at Mid-Soda Manufacturing.